If you have your Bibles today, open up to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, that's where we're going to be today. Looking at Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. Again, that's Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. The title of today's sermon is The Importance of Kindness. The Importance of Kindness. And as you're turning there, I want to ask you a question this morning. Did anyone see the opening ceremony of the Olympics? Does anybody see that? Boy, that was fantastic. There were so many nations, over 200 nations that walked in. And it didn't matter whether you were from the U.S., whether you were from a small Southern Ireland, whether you were from Iraq, or whether you were from Kuwait or Yugoslavia, wherever you came from, everybody was welcomed and treated well. People were clapping their hands. They were excited about it. And then there was this group of refugees that came in from Syria and other countries, and they had a standing ovation by over 78,000 people. So it's pretty neat to see that 11,000 athletes can come together from over 200 different countries, and we can all have peace under one flag of the Olympics. What a blessing that is. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could live in peace like that every day?
Amen.
And so as I started thinking about that kindness, and kindness has really been on my heart a lot lately, I shared a little about this with our prayer service on Tuesday, and I'm going to share some more today, but the world would be an amazing place if we could all have that peace in our life, if we could all have that kindness towards our fellow man and woman. But if I was to ask you today, do we live in a world of kindness? Some of you might laugh, some of you might sneer, some of you might joke, but the truth is, I guess you probably couldn't say that we lived in a world of peace and kindness today. The recent events in our nation and all around the world, they really start to bother me. I don't know if you pay much attention to the news or you look at things, but my heart is really broken because there's so many bold acts of anger and violence and bitterness, and there's targeted attacks, innocent civilians, and even the people that are sworn to protect us. I mean, when you turn on the news and you can see there's bombings in airports, there's innocent civilians that are shot and just in traffic stops, and people in our own police force that are supposed to be supporting and serving us, they're dying in the streets. This world is coming to something bad, amen?
Amen.
And so what do these acts of violence tell us about the heart of our nation? To me, it tells us that we're in trouble today, and we need Jesus, amen? And if we're Christians today, then we should show some of the same kindness and love that Jesus shows, right? You agree with that? And so if they're able to do this stuff during the Olympics and they can pull together over 200 countries to be kind, why can't we start being kind? Great question, isn't it? I mean, just think about your week this week. Think about the opportunities you had to be kind. Were you kind to your neighbor? Were you kind to your wife or your husband? Were you kind to your children? You had plenty of opportunities, but sometimes we're kind and sometimes we're not. But in this whole world, if we could learn to be kind, what a difference we could make. And so today we're going to look at some scripture where Jesus is kind. And so again, that's in Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. As I was preparing for the message today, I heard this story about a woman. She was standing at a bus stop and she had just cashed her paycheck. It was a Thursday. She cashed her paycheck. So she had a little more money than she normally carried around. And so she's waiting out at the bus stop, you know, And then she sees over in the corner kind of this shabbily dressed guy. And she sees a person walk up to that shabbily dressed man and hand him some money and whisper something in his ear. And so she thought, you know, I just got paid. I should do something. I should do that too. So she takes a $10 bill out of her purse or whatever and she goes over to that man. And she gives him the $10 and she says, never despair. Never despair. And so she walks back. She gets on the bus. Everything's good. She goes to work, comes back. Everything's great. Now, Friday morning, she gets out on the bus again. And there's that same shabbily dressed man. He's still over there. And so he comes over and he hands her $110. She says, well, what is this for? He's like, well, lady, you did a good job. Never despair one. 10-1 odds. So I can't promise that kindness is always going to return your odds at 10-1. But I can promise that it's always worth being kind. So let's look at what Jesus did in Luke chapter 8. Verse 40 through 56. It says, now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. So as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and she touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, The people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, nah, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. So then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, she came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe, and she'll be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter and John and James and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus says. She's not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by her hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them all not to tell anyone what had happened. What a neat passage of scripture. So in this passage, we see Jesus is showing kindness really to two different people, two entirely different people. One's a man and the other's a woman. One's an outcast, poor and unknown, and the other is rich and influential, even the ruler of a synagogue. Jesus didn't pay any attention to their race. He didn't pay any attention to how much money they had, their position or their status. He treated them both with kindness. Now you got to realize that this time in Jesus' ministry, he was pretty popular. I mean, he was at the pinnacle of popularity. There were crowds that were coming everywhere to see what Jesus had to say. And they knew that he was a good teacher. They knew that he had healed people. They knew that he had something that they didn't. And so anytime Jesus would go into a town, it seems like crowds would flock around him. But despite all the popularity, all the crowds going around him, all these different things happening, Jesus shared love and kindness with these two people. And so I want to look at a couple ways we can learn to share love and kindness with people too, because there's some people that are hard to be kind to. Amen? Amen? Amen. Do you live with anybody who's hard to be kind to? Shannon, bite your tongue. Amen. All right. Good. So first I want to point out, Jesus showed kindness. Men, this is an important key if you're married. Women inherently, many women do this, but men, this is important if you're married. Jesus showed kindness to them by listening to them. Listening to them. Do we have good listeners in here? Oh, that's good. I didn't see. Well, one man raised his hand. All right, Brother George, that's good. Thomas is like, yeah, he's got nobody around here to argue with him, so he's in good shape. So anyway, first I want to point out, Jesus showed kindness by listening to these people. So Jesus was good at listening to people, to really paying attention to their needs. And so listen again what Scripture says in Luke 8, 40 and 42. He says, now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. So we're not told where Jesus was going. He might have been on the way to go to an open place to preach. That's typically what he did when he had all these crowds around him. There were so many crowds, they were flooding the streets, and you just can't give a good message there. So he'd go out on a hilltop or he'd find a chunk of land where he could just kind of sit out, people could spread out, and he could start to share the message. So he probably had a plan, a purpose. He was on his way. But as soon as this guy Jairus comes along and tells Jesus about his daughter, the very next words we read are, as Jesus was on his way. So Jesus immediately changed directions and started following Jairus because of this little girl's situation was more important than what Jesus was getting ready to do. Now first I want to pause for a minute and think about this. Jesus is on his plan and all of a sudden Jairus comes down at his feet and Jesus changes direction to go help Jairus. Right? How many times in our life do we hate when our plans are changed? You know what I mean? Like, we have plans, we know what we're doing for the day, and then somebody has to go and throw a wrench in it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how do you get along when somebody interrupts your plans? Does anybody deal with that in a good way? Some people do, and some people are really challenged. Some people say, you know what, they're multitaskers, they can get multiple things done at one time. Then there's other people, they can only focus on one thing, and they need to concentrate on that one thing until it's complete. And if somebody interrupts their plans, then it's over. The family's miserable, the people are miserable, and they are not going to be interrupted. Know what I'm saying? Shannon said amen to that. That's not good. But the deal is a lot of times, if you pay attention, Jesus, his ministry that God gives us, does interrupt our lives. You know, as you're going about your day, as you're doing things, God throws little things in there, and you have the chance to go and follow those things or to continue on. And so the point is that if you can't be interrupted from what you're doing, you may very well miss out on some of the greatest ministry work you can do. I read a story about this college student. He's like, gave his life to the Lord. I'm going to live for you, Jesus. I'm going to do everything you want me to do. Just show me how you want me to help you, you know. And as he's praying this prayer, he's down by his bed. Somebody knocks on the door. And they're like, hey, we're collecting food for the poor. Could you donate some cans? Like, no, get out of here. I'm busy. I'm trying to pray, you know. And then somebody else comes on the door and like, hey, we're collecting some clothes and jackets and stuff because winter's coming up. Do you have any jackets? No, I'm trying to pray. You know, Jesus, just show me what you want me to do. Show me how I can help you. And show me how you want me to serve. Somebody comes up to the door and says, hey, we got this great event that's going on. Do you want? And I said, no, I'm trying to pray. And so, see, God is trying to get that guy's attention in all kinds of different ways, but he wasn't open to being interrupted. And sometimes we have to realize that if we're not open to being interrupted, we may miss out on some of the great ministry that God does too. But Jesus, he paid attention to what was going on. He changed his plans for this guy, Jairus, and he changed his direction. But Jairus, he wasn't the only interruption. Then as he's walking to Jairus' house, this whole big crowd's coming with him, you know. And then all of a sudden, this woman comes up and starts tugging on him. Like, what the heck is this? You know, that's what we might say, right? But what does Jesus do? He looks down and he says, okay, and he stops and he meets this person. Look at what it says in verses 43 through 46. It says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. So there's all these crowds surrounding him. Everybody's in a hurry. He's trying to get over to Jairus' house. And then all of a sudden, there's a person tugging at him. And somehow he knows the difference with all these people running into him, that there is somebody else that touched him, a personal touch. How many people like a personal touch? You know what I mean? I like a personal touch. People can say hi and they can wave to you, but as you know, I'm a hugger. I think that's a personal touch. It's a way that I show that I love you, or it's a way that you show that you love me, maybe. But personal touches are important. But our world doesn't focus on a personal touch anymore. Really, if you think about it, think about this scenario. You go up to the gas station. You don't even need to interact with a human being. You don't. You go to a gas station, you take out your little card, you put it in the pump, boop, put in your zip code, done with that. After you put in your zip code, you choose the gas you want, you fill that bad boy up, you get done, you take it out, ask if you want a receipt or not, you push yes or no, and you're done. You never even talked to a human being, but you filled up your car. The bank is the same way. You go to the bank, you can go to an ATM machine, pull out money, deposit money, do whatever you want. No human interaction again. Think about airlines. If anybody's ever had to fly and you have to call in this number to find out what's going on, oh my goodness. It's like, if you want information for departing flights, press 1. For arriving flights, press 2. Press 1 if you know your flight number. You press 1. Press 1 again if it says your flight number is blah, blah, blah. Press 2 if you're going here like, what the heck is all this? Can I just talk to a human being? Bill collectors, you get to talk to those human beings, let me tell you. They want the personal touch. There's no options with that. They call you up from different numbers nowadays. But can you imagine what would happen if that happened? You call 911. You're like, oh my gosh, there's an emergency in my house. And then all of a sudden you hear this computerized voice. If you're in a car accident, press 0. If your emergency is a murderer, press 1. If it's a burglary, press 2. If the burglar is still in your house, press 3. If he has a gun, press 4 very quickly. I mean, I wonder what the world's coming to. Like, can we talk to a human being? You know, but there's no personal touch. But Jesus, he's on this mission with Jairus. He's going to help this guy's daughter. And this woman touches him. There's all this crowd leaning against him. And still he notices somebody personally touched me. And so the first thing we can learn about kindness is kindness has a personal touch. Kindness is personal. It's not something that you can do generally. It is a personal thing that you do for somebody. Secondly, we learn that Jesus expressed this kindness by being considerate of others. You know, I can tell you, my mom used to tell me, Alan, you need to be considerate of this person. I had no idea what that meant. When I was little, when I was a teenager, I don't know what she was talking about. I'm like, the lady wasn't coming fast enough, so I shut the door and she tripped on the curb. Wasn't my fault, Mom. You know, we all have those things. But Jesus said, you can express kindness by being considerate of others. Verse 47 and 48 says, Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, she came trembling and she fell at her feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Now you got to realize at this time, because of this woman's disease, whatever it was that she was bleeding 12 years of, 12 years, that's a really long time. I have lots of jokes I could say, but they're not appropriate right now. But anyway, she was bleeding for 12 years. They treated her unclean. They treated her as an outcast. Nobody wanted to talk to her. So she even had to move out of her house. She was away from her family for 12 years because she had this disease. The society treated her like she had leprosy. Her self-esteem must have been just about as low as it could be because nobody wanted to talk to her. So Jesus surprises her. First of all, by stopping and listening to her. I think she was shocked that, huh, somebody wants to listen to me? I think we have a very condensed version of the story in Scripture. I think if I didn't get the chance to talk for 12 years, Carol, do you know what that would be like? Amen, sister. And so you think 12 years without talking to somebody. I'm sure she was telling Jesus all kinds of things. And I imagine Jesus was listening. He was paying attention. So if you and I want to show kindness, we got to be good listeners too. And we already talked about how many people are good listeners. There wasn't very many people that raised their hands. But I'll tell you, we try to be good listeners. We try to act like we care about people, don't we? You go to the store and you're like, or you pass a friend, even a friend. Say you just pass a friend and you're like, "Hey, man, how's it going, Tegan?" "Oh, it's going pretty good." "Good, me too." And then you're hoping that's kind of the end of the conversation. But you ever run into that person where you're like, "Hey, Ron, how's it going?" He's like, "Oh, it's going pretty good. Hey, I'm glad to hear your day's going good." "Well, actually, it's not. Let me tell you, Pastor. I got to tell you about what's going on today." And then they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. You ever run into that situation? See, I've run into that situation before. You, those of you that know me well know that we go bowling on church from 10 to midnight on Wednesdays. And so I had to fly out to Austin at 5 a.m. the next morning on Thursday morning. So I live an hour away. So I get home at 1 in the morning-ish from bowling. I have to leave my house at 2:30 in the morning to get to the airport. So I had about 90 minutes of sleep. So I'm not in the greatest mood. You're like, "Pastor, you don't always, you're not always happy." No. I was not in the greatest mood this morning. And so I go up to the airline counter and I tell the lady, I said, "Ma'am, I would really like to get a seat where there's nobody else sitting next to me. Is that possible?" And she looks at me and she goes, "Well, why is that? Are you sick?" And I said, "No, I'm just really tired and I really want to get some rest." She goes, "Okay, let's see what we can find you." She finds me one all the way at the back of the plane. "Sir, that'll be a $40 upcharge." Of course it will be. It doesn't matter. I got to get some sleep because I'm going to be working all day in Austin. So I give her the $40 and I get back there and I cuddle up. I've got my stuff up there. I've got, I've learned the secret now, bring headphones, even if you don't listen to music. But I didn't do that at the time. And so I just kind of rested in. And here I smell something. And it's this woman perfume. I'm like, "Oh no." And then I look at that person like, "Oh gosh, please let her go sit somewhere else, please." And nope, guess what? She sits right next to me. And so I figure we're going to do the cordial thing. So I'm like, "Well, hi ma'am, how are you doing this early morning?" She's like, "Oh, I'm doing great. What about you?" I said, "I didn't get much sleep last night, so I'm planning on getting a little rest." And she goes, "Oh, that's good." She said, "I haven't flown on an airplane since the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and I'm really nervous. You know, is it still safe to fly?" And then questions come. And then after the questions are done, she's like, I said, "Well, where are you going?" "I'm going to visit my granddaughter. It's been so many years since I visited my granddaughter. Let me tell you, they grew up over here, and now they live over here, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah." And before you know it, I knew this lady's whole family history on the flight to Austin, Texas, and I didn't get 1 ounce of sleep. And so I was kind to her, I was cordial, and I was sweet. And she walked away. She wasn't scared. She had a blast, got to share her family history, and gave me a hug by the time we left. And so what I'm saying is that don't just try to be cordial to somebody without being kind, because God might say, "This is the opportunity for you to minister. I'm 90 minutes of sleep. Come on, Lord. Maybe you shouldn't have went bowling last night. You got beat by George again." I don't know what God was doing there, but what he was saying is that if you want to be kind to somebody, you have to listen to them. And why I'm giving that story is there's going to be times where you need to be kind to people when you don't feel like being kind. There's going to be times where people are going to irritate you. They're going to frustrate you. You might be in a bad mood, but there is no excuse not to be kind. You see, kindness doesn't cost you anything, and you don't have to have a special talent to be kind. Everybody can be kind. So the second thing we learn from Jesus is kindness involves listening and paying attention and being really focused on that person. The third and last point I want to share with you today is Jesus expresses his kindness by understanding. Look what it says in verses 49 through 56. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother that teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he didn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She's not dead, but asleep. Then they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, and he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. So I want to concentrate on those last verses talking about kindness. The first thing, though, is the miracle was amazing, and we should praise God for that, right? He took a dead person and brought her back to life, so that's fantastic. But notice what Jesus tells them after the miracle is over. He says, don't tell anyone what happened. That's kind of strange, right? You brought this person back to life, and now you're telling them, don't tell anybody what happened? And, you know, some of the most disturbing words I think we have in the English language are the four words we like to speak, but we hate to hear. They're the words, I told you so. Yeah, I told you so, right? So we love to tell people, I told you so, but we don't want other people telling us, I told you so. It doesn't work so well. So if you think about this thing, these people are teasing Jesus. They're laughing at him. They're like, she's dead. I don't even know why you're going in there. And so they're mocking him, laughing at him, and he raises this girl back up to life again. Now, if I were Jesus, I probably would have done the same thing. I would have raised her back up to life. And then I would have grabbed her by her sweet little hand, and I would have walked down with everybody and been like, ha, I told you so. No, she wasn't dead, huh? What do you think about this? How dead does she look now with a peanut butter sandwich in her mouth, huh? I told you so. That's what I would do. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus is a much better man than I am. Jesus didn't do that. Because he was concerned how everybody felt, even the mockers and the people that laughed at him. He didn't want to get even with them. He didn't want to get back at them. He didn't want to glorify himself. He didn't have anything else to prove. Instead, in kindness, he tells the parents, don't tell anyone what's happened here. Because he wants to save face with all the people. Sometimes it's not so much what we say, it's how we say it. The fact is, Jesus didn't want to embarrass those people who were making fun of him. He didn't even want to get even with them. That speaks volumes. And it teaches us how we should respond to each other too. Showing kindness is one of the greatest things we can do for anyone. And while Jesus sets the example, we should follow it. So as you go throughout your week this week, think of ways you can show kindness too. Instead of being so self-absorbed about your plans and being worried about being interrupted, think about how you can show kindness to different people. Jesus taught us today we can show kindness by listening to people. Just like Jesus listened to Jairus about his daughter and that woman who needed to be healed. We can show kindness by being considerate of others. Even though many people considered that woman who had been bleeding as an outcast, Jesus spent time with her and he cared for her. And we have to understand that people have feelings too, and sometimes they need to share it. And so finally, we could show kindness by being understanding and having an understanding spirit. Jesus was concerned with Jairus' daughter, but he was also concerned with the parents and even the mockers. We should follow his example and, too, be concerned for all the people, not just the people that we think are worth being concerned about. So as I close, I want to close with this story. There were some construction workers that were building a high-rise across the street from a hospital. As they were working on this third floor, they noticed a little girl standing in the third floor window of the hospital, watching them work. One day they looked across and they saw this little girl, and she held up a poster that says, hey, my name is Lisa. What is your name? And so the next day, the construction workers bought some magic markers and poster boards, and they wrote down their names. My name's Bob. My name's Bill. My name's Harry. How old are you? So the next day, the little girl held up a sign and said, I'm 7 years old. How old are you? And so that went on for several days. The little girl was stuck in this hospital room, but she was able to talk to these workers who cared about her back and forth through the glass. But one day, they noticed Lisa wasn't in her usual place in the window. So at break time, one of the workers called the hospital, asked for the third floor nurse, and he asked if he could tell them anything about Lisa. And the nurse said that Lisa had taken a turn for the worse and was now in intensive care. So the workers were so upset, they pooled their money together and they bought some flowers, they bought a card, and they wrote all their names in it, and they sent it to Lisa in intensive care. She got it, and she said, "Thank you." She held up a sign, and they looked back and said, "You're welcome." Several days passed, and they still didn't see Lisa in the window again. And then another sign appeared in the window from the nurse. Lisa passed away, but thank you for caring. You see, love and kindness can be shown in all kinds of different ways. But don't wait to show it to people until it's too late. We never know how long we have on this earth. So if you don't know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, don't wait another day. Today's the day to make that decision. God has put all kinds of people in our life, and we should enjoy those people and be kind to them. Love them with all of our heart and learn as Jesus teaches us today to be kind to everyone we meet. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. God, we live in a cruel world. There's lots of violence, lots of hatred, lots of anger. But God, you teach us that we should be kind to one another. You teach us that we should put other people's needs before our own needs. You teach us to be listeners, to be good listeners, to be considerate of others. Lord, God, help us today. Maybe there's somebody here in the congregation who might have had a bad week. Maybe there's somebody here who just one word of kindness would have changed the whole outcome of their week for them. But no one uttered that word. Maybe there's somebody in the congregation here today that's thinking about all these situations where they could have been kind this week, but they failed. God, I know there's many burdens on people's hearts today. Lord, help us not to reach out in anger, not to reach out in hatred, but to be kind to everyone we love. God, if there's anyone that needs to come, let them come now as we sing this verse of invitation.